Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where the purpose of the show is to provide inside address topics that many individuals are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Now, I want to get started with the show because we only have an hour, but I have an awesome guest that's going to be joining us, as well as an in-house guest, and I've been putting some information and throwing things out there so other people can call in that may have questions or may be involved in organizations that are targeted towards this population so that we can come up with solutions. So before we get started, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and blessing me. And so let's get started with the show. Now, when we talk about today's topic as we are addressing the issue as it relates to homelessness, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and I found it very interesting when my doctor was talking to me about what do I do and some of the shows that I talk about in my topics. And I brought up today's topic in regards to addressing the homeless population and homelessness all over the world and also in America. He kept referring to individuals as them people, them, they. And I found that odd because a lot of individuals, whether they realize it or not, are so judgmental when it comes to homelessness. Yet, when you think of homelessness, that means without homes. So if you are jumping from couch to couch, if you are in situations where you don't have your own, many individuals are homeless and don't even know it, but yet want to point the finger at other individuals. So today we're going to be talking about life under a bridge. But I want to share some information before I bring on my guests. Did you know that there are many forms of homelessness? And many may not know that there are several different causes that can lead to homelessness, one of which being affordable housing. And if you live in California, New York, Hawaii, those are some of the highest places to live. Now, homelessness affects everyone on many different levels, yet it appears to be minimized and often ignored, and especially the way people are being treated. It is also being indicated that homelessness is affecting our seniors as well as our veterans. Many individuals are also one disaster away from homelessness. Now, it affects individuals with mental health, substance abuse issues, transitioning from foster care, as well as death of a family member, which individuals may not know. Now, this is just to name a few, but let me log on our guest because I know she's waiting. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, sweetie. How you doing?
I am well, and how are you?
I cannot complain because God woke me up this morning.
Thank
Can you hear me good?
But you say if you complain, who are you going to complain to? You know, because like we always say, some we want to talk about things, some people have it worse. So we can't
nothing
but praise them. Now, in regards to this topic, this is a very interesting topic and one that definitely needs to be discussed. And I know I got someone else on the line that's waiting to join us in, but we're going to give us a minute. Blossom, tell the listeners who you are.
Oh, well, first of all, I give God all the glory and the honor for allowing me to be here today. And I also want to thank you for allowing me to share your platform with you. And may God show you favor for being obedient. But my name is Blossom, grateful recovering addict. I tell everybody, unless you have worn my shoes mentally or physically, because, you know, you have so many people telling you, girl, if I was you, I would do this, or you could have done this. But you don't know what you will do when you're in that predicament at what such a time as that. But God has blessed me. I was on crack cocaine for 19 years, but I have 15 years clean. And due to my addiction and my lifestyle and people couldn't trust me, I ended up living under a bridge in the backseat of my car. So that's the title. I'm the author of 3 books. The titles are From Under a Bridge 1, From Under a Bridge 2, and the third book is called And They Laugh, because you know I had a lot of people that laughed at me and picked at me and said I wouldn't mount to nothing. But, you know, we have to be careful how we put our mouth on people, because it's just a yet that you're not there, you know. And being homeless, you know what, At the time, I didn't think, I thought it was the worst thing, but you know what? I thank God for everything I went through because it makes me appreciate stuff. You know, you have people talking about, I don't want to eat that. But I remember many times, many nights hungry because I chose to buy crack instead of food. You know what I'm saying? When I see people throw away food or when I see people laugh at people up under the bridge. And people don't always just end up under a bridge due to drugs and alcohol. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You got to look at the veterans. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that everybody that's out there are homeless. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying,
because
you know, you have some con artists. But as long as you give from your heart, then God will take care of everything else. But, you know, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to ever live like that again, but I thank God that he brought me in because, like I said, don't nobody know. When I used to be in the backseat of that car and in the backseat crying, because either I was crying because I didn't have no dope or I was crying because I was feeling sorry for myself. And then you know what? A lot of things I did maybe go up under that bridge because I got on the crack real bad, people couldn't trust me. Nobody could trust me. But talking about the books, book one tells you what led me to smoking crack. You know, when I was coming up, you know, we couldn't talk about abuse or molestation. You know, you just couldn't go and discuss that. You know what I'm saying? It's two things people don't like to discuss is molestation or mental illness. Mental illness has people going homeless too, you know. So I had God delivered me from both of them because I've been in mental institutions, you know. And also in book one, I talk about how I got pregnant at an early age, how I ended up getting married at an early age, and then how I got with the guy who was already on crack, and I made him teach me how to smoke crack because when your childhood is snatched from you, you just want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? You just want to fit in. You see what I'm saying? So then book two, it tells you how I've been to prison. My prison number is 589931. People that come from out of institutions, they end up in up under a bridge, you know, because of the system, you know what I'm saying? The system. Also talk about how I've been in a mental institution because they had diagnosed me bipolar, schizophrenic. But you know what it was? It was because I was on crack. And I wanted to get off of it. That's what it was.
You know, Blossom, we're going to be talking about a lot of that on the show. And I see something as I'm looking at your bio, and it's so funny because you indicated in your bio that even though you was raised by a loving great-grandmother who believed in some unique homes remedies, and these remedies later detrimental to the habit, and you recall drinking Coke 45. Girl, that was my mama's beer. And people don't remember. That's just ridiculous. The word precious was my mom's nickname, and I'm going to be celebrating her birthday on October the 17th. But she was a Coke 45, and my grandmother was a Slitz malt liquor. And I'm looking at this like, wow. And wait a minute, drinking Coke 45 as a cure for the wing one. We had what they call Dr. Tisherman antiseptic that was curing everything. Now, we have a listener on the line. Let me click this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette, number ending in 60. How are you doing? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything.
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. Is this Miss Crystal?
It is.
It sounds just like her.
Thank you, Miss Crystal, for calling in. Now, we're talking about under a bridge and life under a bridge. Now, life is a challenge for many. I was just thinking over the weekend, I went, because you know I had the fever from leaving Vegas, Crystal, so I was casino hopping. And Saturday we wound up at San Miguel. Girl, why Sunday morning, early in the morning, my friend decided to pull off the road and we in the parking lot of an AM, PM in the car sleep? I woke up like, where am I at? You know, I felt like I was homeless. It's like I didn't want to go home, but I didn't want to be in the parking lot of an AM, PM sitting in the Mercedes. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? But you know, but there's a lot of danger, a lot of danger, and a lot of different things that occur in regards to the causes and the cures. But last year, it was reported that around 552,830 individuals were experiencing homelessness in the United States, which that number is probably higher now, and such was indicated by the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Now, in September of 2019, the Council of Economic Advisors addressed the state of homelessness in America, and understanding homelessness can be very complex because I'm finding that individuals are so, I don't know if they want to put a blinder, if they're arrogant, if they're just ignorant. I don't know what it is, but to me, it's sad, and I know it's a complex issue, and for those that are experiencing it, such could be devastating, especially when children are involved. Now, Blossom, when you were talking about being a mother and sharing your story and its impact, because the one thing, and like I said, it was definitely a pleasure to meet you, but as we are addressing this and this lifestyle of homelessness, there are some things that I have put down because, like I said, I'm going to get together with some people. We're going to put an event together. And we're going to try our best to make this situation known so that individuals can change their attitudes, beliefs, and perception about this. And you talked about the mental health aspect, which we can go back to. The police interactions, their attitude, substance abuse and addictions, children, their needs, parenting. There was a show, I don't know if it's still being aired, and it was talking about in Orange County and children and parents were homeless. And it's like, how do you parent when you're homeless? Domestic violence, where some individuals become homeless because of domestic violence. The safety issues in regards to assaults, robberies, and rapes that occur. Food, clothing, dental, medical needs, the weather, shelters, trauma, and the PTSD of it. Now, Crystal, with you being on the line, anything you want to add to this topic?
I feel like it's a very, very amazing topic. I feel like it definitely needs awareness and bringing people to be aware of everything that's going on and also what resources they can have. I absolutely love what you are embarking on, and I absolutely love what Ms. Blossom is embarking on as well. I absolutely fell in love with her when I met her that weekend in Vegas, and I'm just amazed at her story. I'm amazed at all of us and how powerful our voices really are, no matter what walk of life you come from. And it's just really touching that we all are able to talk about it and tell our stories with no shame, which is what most people don't realize, that they don't have to be ashamed.
That is true.
It's a blessing. Yes, you do not have to be ashamed, and it's such a blessing because people don't understand what going through and getting through is. And, honey, when you're getting through, it's amazing. That's the biggest blessing of it all. And she's coming through it, and she's still pushing through it. And, Blossom, I'm absolutely so proud of you, girl. I'm proud of you. I'm so happy to be in your life. I'm happy to call you sister. I'm just happy to know you. It's such a blessing to have met you and to know you, sweetheart, because that heart that you have and you're about to pay it forward and help these other people as well, I commend you. I really do. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait to help you embark on that journey and be of any assistance to you in Jeanette. Dr. Abney has been wonderful in my life. So it's a blessing to know such strong women who've had to fight all their life. And still,
oh, man.
So we still get through.
Right.
And it wasn't no horse that kicked me in the face. It was just life.
Just life.
But you know what?
That is so true. You know, I had to tell my daughter the other day, I said, you know what, with all the work that I do, and you know, Crystal, I don't do this for money. I've never been a money person. I said, Lord, thank God I was staying on her life insurance because her life insurance had to pay my mortgage. So it's sad because many individuals are just a paycheck, a disaster. So when individuals that are affluent and have good jobs, and we start talking about the homelessness, because when most people think about homelessness, their minds often jump to the image of someone sleeping or living on the streets. But in reality,
right,
homelessness takes many forms, and it isn't that always that obvious. Because even from, we talk about with close, just being close up to it and people living with you, when we start talking about the reality of it and the different forms, homelessness can
right,
essentially be broken down into four basic categories. And that's just a few, because there are more. But the categories are more chronic, episodic, and traditional, and the hidden one, because you got some people that are homeless, you don't even know they're homeless. And we're going to go into some of these details. But let me, I have a caller on the line. Let me log this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney, number in 06. Welcome to Purchase Predicaments. How are you doing?
Okay.
Okay, thank you for joining, Michelle. Anything
thank
you want to add to this topic as we start talking about homelessness?
No. If I come up with something, I'll ask that.
Gotcha. Okay, well, thank you very much, Michelle, because you know what? I will never forget when I met you and you was hanging out with the homeless people even in the groups. I was like,
you know, I used to hang out with them when I was 13, 14, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
You did. You did. I remember when my mother used to tell me, Jeanette, don't be talking to that wino. They strangers. I'd go up to them and say, what's your name? And they would tell me their name. I'd be like, Mom, that's not a stranger. His name is so-and-so. Or her name is so-and-so. I just always had a love for people. You know, now when we start talking about this, and I brought up four different situations, and the episodic homelessness refers to individuals who are currently homeless and have experienced at least three periods of homelessness in the previous year. These individuals are often younger and suffer from some type of disabling conditions, because a lot of times we think that the homeless is just the individuals with a drug and alcohol problem, and that's not true. And even when we talk about addiction, we kind of have our own biases in our beliefs and our perceptions. But mental illness plays a part in sometimes medical problems. And that's what they look at in regards to the episodic. Now, when we talk about not only the episodic and talking about the transitional homelessness, it's actually the most common type of homelessness where the individuals are likely to be younger and generally enter into shelters or temporary housing system, but only for a brief stay. This situation could be as a result of something that may have happened in their life, because when I think about Hurricane Katrina making individuals homeless, when we had those fires up in what part of the L.A. area, where a lot of millionaires and people, they lost their homes. They were homeless. And they probably never thought that would happen to them. And I remember speaking with an insurance agent, and she told me the sad part about it was many of them did not have insurance, because they thought
wow,
that they had enough money to cover if anything ever happened, and they lost everything. And you know the last thing they probably thought was going to a shelter. And then we have the fourth type, like I said, that goes unreported and undocumented. And these individuals are known as provisionally occupied and are experiencing what is known as a hidden homelessness. And they refer to individuals temporarily living with others. Now, a lot of individuals don't realize when you couch hopping and going from relative to relative, friend to friend, that's a form of homelessness. But like you said, Crystal, you don't have to be ashamed. Because as I was getting this information, there's a lot of resources out there, but I want to say this, Blossom, and I have a question for you in regards to that. Pride.
Yes, ma'am.
Pride seems to be a hindrance for people sometimes. What is your make on that when we talk about the pride, and sometimes individuals may either reject the help, not want the help, and I know you said something in regards to the substance abuse issues that you had. What is your take on that?
Because you know what? Now, some people feel like if they've helped you in any kind of way, they got to go and tell somebody, you know, girl, I had to help so-and-so. But that's the only reward you're going to get, you know what I'm saying? And another thing, like with me, until I had dealt with the issue, we got to remember it's always an issue to what something that we're going through. You, it's like, you know, you live in the most prettiest house on the block, But every time you pull up to that house, you see the leaves and the branches that makes the house, the yard, look so ugly. But until you get out and cut that tree down at the root, and my root was being abused. So you got to get to the issue. Why? Until then, and then, like I said, some people, because the pride steps in, because you can have people that talk about what they do for you. So they'd rather not accept nothing from anybody. You know what I'm saying? That when somebody's going through something, they already feeling low down. They already feeling like they're worthless. And then for you to have somebody say, say for instance, you know, like on Facebook, how you see people getting out their cars and they're filming themselves giving the homeless person a hamburger. What's good about that? They don't want to be showed. They're already going through. Help them. When you want to help somebody, you're going, whatever you do in secret, God will reward you openly. You know, so that has a lot to do with it, too. And they haven't dealt with their issues yet. That's why, you know, a lot of people say, girl, you can laugh now because I've dealt with my issues. I used to have that kind of, I don't want nobody to talk about me, let me just do this. But you know what? When God allowed me to forgive my abuser, then he taught me how to forgive myself because I did a lot of things out there. Now I can laugh when people try to throw my past back up. I say, yeah, and I keep on walking because there's nothing nobody can do. When you know who you are and who you belong to, there's nothing nobody could do or say to make me hold my head down. But that person has to, they have to be shown that they can live an abundant life. I'm not saying they're going to be a millionaire or nothing like that, but if God brought me from up on the bridge, he'll bring the next person from up on the bridge. But they got to have some real people that want to help them from the heart, like how you want to reach out, like how Crystal want to reach out. People that's going to deal from the heart, not just for show and tell. That's the biggest thing right there.
And you know what? And that is so true. I have an in-house guest. What do you want to share in regards to this topic when we start talking about the lifestyle and life under a bridge? Because like you said, it don't have to be under a bridge. It could be in a car. It could be in a shelter. It could be on somebody's couch. It could be in a lot of different situations. What do you want to share in regards to this topic?
I think a lot of people don't realize how homelessness hits people or how they become about homeless. Like you said, there's so many stereotypes. A lot of people think, oh, that person must be doing drugs, they must be an alcoholic. But there have been people that end up in their cars or, like, sleeping on people's couches or with relatives in other states. They've had to give up everything because of hospital bills, a deceased loved one, and they can't afford to pay off the bills and the hospital bills and keep the house. People end up in their cars. And you have housewives, too, that end up in their cars because it's like if you don't have work experience, then you probably never work, so you can't collect Social Security, so you don't even fall on these programs. Some of these programs, they have housing. You know, they try to make it sound like they're trying to help the homeless. But if you don't fall under certain criteria, then you're not even eligible for their programs. So, you know, if someone can't meet the requirements for housing, then they have this other thing called rapid rehousing. Well, if someone's not working, they can't even afford that. You know, well, they'll pay your first month's rent in your deposit, but you have to take over the rent after that. And then a lot of people, I think, just grow into the comfort of, okay, well, I have a set income, and without any bills, I can afford gas, I can go to places to get foods and stuff to eat, because it's just they don't making low, even low income housing is too expensive. They just make it harder for people that are in that situation with the programs that they have if they don't fit the criteria. A lot of people don't realize that the majority of the people out there aren't on drugs or drinking. A lot of them, like you said, it happens from mental health. They're not on the right medications. They've been tossed from here to there. At the age of 18, they get kicked out of institutions. They don't have any living or coping skills. And then they may turn to other things, but they cling to whatever they know. And if they only known, I mean, it's just a lot, it's a lot of stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of stereotypes. And, you know, and I like what you're saying. And also we talk about our veterans, our seniors, kids that are getting out of the foster care system where they have been abused, neglected, or mistreated, and then now once they reach the age of emancipation. But I'm glad now that they have what's called a transitional program because they're bringing more insight, more awareness, but it's still not enough. Like you said, a divorce can lead someone to become homeless. being sick can lead one to becoming homeless. So there's a lot of factors. But also when we talk about these things, when we talk about homelessness, and even though there's organizations out there, this is a, with homelessness is associated with a high risk of suicide attempts too, domestic violence, things that happen in these shelters. So it's so much stuff going on. And I'm not saying that all shelters are good, because sometimes we talk about these grants, these loans, or not loans, but the funding, that also becomes an issue. And people need to speak up about what's going on in some of these places. Blossom, have you ever, because I know my stepfather died in February, because he became homeless after his mother died. The sister pretty much, the house went into a trust. And when one of the siblings passed away, she put the other siblings out, and he became homeless. And he was going to some of the shelters, and he didn't like the shelters. And his mentality was, I'd rather just die. I'd rather just be dead than to be in these shelters, because he had never lived like that before. And it was very, very difficult for him. So, and I know, Blossom, you're in another state versus us being in California, but share, or do you have knowledge of some of the things that individuals that are in shelters go through?
Well, the shelters are overworked. You know, the some of the staff don't have compassion. They just feel like some of when I was down in Miami, so you know they always had a shelter or a rehab on every corner. You know, I've been in shelter with a child at one time. And I'm telling you the truth, you know, I use the system. So, you know, whatever you saw, you shall read. When it comes to the shelter, like I said, you know, so like some of the YMCAs, you have to check in at a certain time, but then at 6 o'clock in the morning, you got to get out. So you got to walk the streets for the rest of the day. It's just, you know what, sometimes the money is not spent the way it's supposed to. It depends on the leadership. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying everybody runs their facilities like
correct.
That, you know. It's just, you got to make it do what it do. You know what I'm saying? You just got to keep on. I don't care, if, you know, if they talk to you any kind of way. You just say, Lord, thank you, I got a roof over my head. But one thing I can say, when I was out there in the streets, I slept under a bridge in the backseat of my car. But I can honestly say nobody ever tried to rape me, rob me, do anything. Only time I got in trouble, y'all, is when I got in that front seat and went on West Side. You know what I'm saying? I can honestly, God kept me. Now, you don't always hear good stories about that. Some people didn't have cars. They just literally slept up on the bridge. You know, but God bless me, I had a 1993 Dynasty. And when I got through smoking crack, or I couldn't find no more crack, or I couldn't find nobody else I could hustle out of money, I would go up under the bridge, and it was people out there 24/7, because it was a big fishing area, you know. And I remember just laying there in the back seat crying and saying, Lord, I just want to get off of this. You know what I'm saying? I want to do better. But the next morning I wake up, here we go again, you know. So you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Some people just give up, you know what I'm saying, because they done been kicked to the side so hard. But you know what? We got to continue to keep pressing. Because better days, I'm telling you, because I had so many people tell me, and I believed it too, that I was going to die on that bridge with AIDS. I was going to die with a stem. None of the kind of thoughts I had, and I was accepting it because that's what people were saying to me. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we had to be careful of the things we say to people, because, you know, they didn't choose to be up under them. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
I didn't choose to be up under them. But it was the things that I was doing, the things I hadn't done. And like I said, because I couldn't talk about being abused, I had to hold all that in for 19 years. So, I said, the system, and then when they're under budget, understaffed, you know, it's like they just want to do their eight and go home. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, every system is different.
Right. And, you know, and that's why counseling is so important. Resources are so important. And I've been working with my intern.
Yes, ma'am.
So putting people together and connecting with individuals so we can get this thing going on in March, so we can start donating to some of the organizations that are out there in the forefront trying to do the work. Now, even though we start talking about these different services, because most counties provide a variety of services to assist homeless individuals, and services can be either food, shelter, clothing, and they may be, you know, organized or run by community organizations. I have a young man by the name of Luther Keith that grew up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and he feeds the homeless and the and he goes on these missions. He drops off food, he drops off clothing, he drops off all kinds of stuff to individuals. And I connected with him because I wanted him to call in, so I don't know if he's busy right now. But even though we start talking about individuals and these governmental departments or agencies, these programs may be supported by the government, charities, churches, and individual donors. Because a lot of times individuals depend on the church, but sometimes the churches don't have it either, and that becomes a problem. Now, many cities have also have, they have newspapers, which are the publications designed to provide employment opportunities to homeless individuals. And while some may not realize, but some homeless individuals do have jobs and must seek other forms of making a living. Some are on probation or parole. But when we think of homelessness, we think of begging, panhandling. Those are some options, but they're becoming increasingly illegal in a lot of cities, and they're making it harder for homeless individuals by trying to run people out. And I know there was a big issue with that with the Riverbed in Orange County. And also, by me having offices in Orange County, which you know this too, Michelle, is when you go to the courthouse in Orange County, it is ridiculous because they have their own community just right in front of the courthouse. And it's like, how are you allowing individuals to live in tents and live like this, and you guys are making it seem okay? Michelle, yeah. Any comments in regards to that?
In L.A., they don't, but, yeah, Orange County is, you know, I've been there, done that 6 months with my cousin, and I was living in and out of my car, and, you know, I would leave just because I couldn't stand being around Bill, and you know, it's crazy, though. Mm-hmm. It really, you know.
But you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the courthouse in Santa Ana, and how they have it, mm-hmm. where it's like tent city, and it's just people just all over the place, just everywhere, and it's like
yeah.
right in the middle of the courts, just right there. It's like you cannot ignore that. You just can't. Now, when we start talking about resources and touching on some of these things, the police interaction, let's talk about that a little bit and the attitudes, just even with law enforcement. Michelle, what has been some of your experience with law enforcement and homelessness? Because part of this is bringing a sense of awareness and changing their attitudes and perceptions, too.
Well, like I said, around here, they let you do whatever. And, you know, I like the cops because when I turned 18, I didn't lie to the cops or anything. I mean, obviously because I was on drugs, I did, you know, certain things about drugs and, you know, but I talked to them all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I was
good.
What was your experience with law enforcement, Blossom, in regards to with homelessness?
Girl, every police officer knew me in my hometown. Because you know what? I was a violent crackhead, violent alcoholic. They all knew me because they knew that I was gonna fight. So, but I had. It was one officer, we used to call him Preacher Man, because before he put the cuffs on you, he always gave you a sermon, you know. And my a couple of years ago, my mom said she told them that, well, y'all Blossom is doing good. She's a minister. They said, what? You know, so they all knew me. And I've had some nasty ones. But it depends on how nasty I acted to them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we get what we put out, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So every police officer knew my name, every one of them.
You know, Blossom, it was interesting because I was sharing with you that I show my clients in my substance abuse groups because I do own an outpatient drug and alcohol program, and when we're talking about the mental health part, the parenting, domestic violence, substance abuse. I have the ability to interact with a lot of individuals, and I was showing them you being interviewed on Cleft Flow Dollar's show, and it was funny because especially when you said how when they knew you was coming, they pick up their house and move. I used to do that with my son. When my son became homeless, I would catch him sneaking in and out of my vehicle parked in front of my house because he knew how to break in my vehicle. So I got rid of the vehicle. I would tell my son, why don't you go visit your mother? He said, Mom, I'm scared to go somewhere because if I do, you're going to mess around and move. I said, that's a good idea. The sucker was sleeping. There was times he'd be in my backyard. I was like,
and that's the truth. You know, people hated to see me coming because, I was either begging or I was going to steal it. Or I was going to drink all their liquor up, and they would look out the mirror and say, oh, there's Mary. And as soon as they look out the window and saw me, they picked the whole house up and moved. You know, so we still laugh about this,
And like, you got home. My son be knocking on the door. We be like, be quiet. Be quiet. He come through the window. He come in, breaking in through the house, through the window, upstairs. What the hell? they've been so many times. My son probably almost got killed by family members. It was ridiculous. Boy, you'll get shot. Now, when we talked about, even though that there's a wide range of reasons, like I say, why someone might become homeless, the lack of affordable housing, that is a big, big issue. And suffering economy and the lack of supportive and help services. And I'm not going to say that everybody want help because everybody don't want the help, but you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired, so true, Blossom, because a lot of times, I've tried to reach out to individuals that are homeless. I will let people come into my home. I have a guy, he was like my best friend in Fullerton, and his name was Sir Love Lance. This man was homeless, but I remember one time I picked him up. It was my birthday weekend, and it was Easter. I picked him up from Fullerton, where I had my daughter bring him, brought him to Oceanside. He stayed in my house for 3 days. He couldn't take it. He started sleeping outside on the grass, trying to cut my tree down with a butcher knife. He was going through withdrawals. I was like, oh, my God. Then he started bringing other homeless people in my office to go to sleep. I said, I don't mind helping you, but you can't bring in your crew. It was a mess. It was a mess.
And you know what? It's just like when you hear about people being institutionalized. If they've done so many years and years, and when they do get out, they can't deal with it. So that's a mental thing, you know what I'm saying? So they do something silly, something small to go back, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that's true, and that is so true. So you're dealing with mental illness then, you know what I'm saying? So you got to know the difference. You really got to know the difference.
Well, but I used to tell people, and especially my clients, he was not a typical homeless person. He actually owned two businesses. His wife was a sheriff. She died of breast cancer. He slipped into drinking and was self-medicating, which led to him becoming homeless because he gave up on life, and that was the problem. But when I first met him, I knew he wasn't a typical homeless individual, and I never judged him. And people thought I was crazy. They were like, why would you bring a homeless man to your house that you don't know? Well, I took the man to church with me. That was my buddy. He would let me know. He'd be like, Jeanette, that counselor, you need to fire that person. That person is mean. And it was like, Jeanette letting all these homeless people in the office. And no matter which office I had, I would always run into situations where individuals be sleeping by my door. Because I've had individuals say, that's the only place I can get some rest. And I would tell them, do you not realize this is a rehab? This is a counseling center? They didn't know, but they always felt at peace. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, Blossom, the peace. How can one obtain peace when their life seems like it's just so chaotic?
You know, but that's and I'm gonna tell you, I had gotten into the church and I backslid, but I'm gonna tell you that the night that I was sitting in that crack house in Daytona, it was a different kind of peace. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong, I still smoke a crack, but I still had the shirt, the shoes, and the purse that I had on that night that God, when God called me out of that crack house. And people say, you ain't, and I was writing God a letter. And, you know, you have people like, girl, you ain't throw the crack away. No, because I had to hustle that dope. I wouldn't throw my crack away. But it was a different kind of, it was a different kind of peace that I cannot, it was peace past all understanding. You know what I'm saying? I would take another hit, right, God, take another hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady's house that I was in, I remember she came in the kitchen to give me another piece of dope. I said, you know what, next time you see me, I'll be clean and sober. She went, she laughed. I went on, but you know what, you have to get past that part of people laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get past that. You got to get past the people talking about you. You got to get, because you know what, 10 years ago, when people didn't want me to write this book, you know, oh, all hell broke loose because I hadn't told the family secret. But you know what, the book wasn't to hurt anybody, it was to help somebody. I've been through a lot. I had been abused and been raped. I thought going with a woman was better. You know what I'm saying? I had a man to leave me for another man. I had a man that had HIV and never told me. I'm sitting here, I don't have AIDS nor HIV. You got to get past all that. You know, and I have people tell me, your blood system was so strong. Now, that was the blood of Jesus that kept me for such a time as this. You got to get past all that, because if I still listen to what people have said, I'll still be up under that bridge. I'm probably dead. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say it's easy, because you want everybody to support you, but everybody's not going to support you. That's why the word says to encourage yourself. You got to get your own peace. I don't care. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phone. Just get into your quiet place and let God talk to you. Let God minister. And don't receive everything everybody say. When people come to you and tell you, girl, they said this about you, you don't watch the people that said it. You watch the person who came back and told you.
Thank you.
Ones, they
preach.
Cowardly.
Preach. That is true. That is so true.
Yeah,
because everybody is not your friend. You know, I've seen more love. I've seen more compassion from people that are alcoholics, homeless, because they bond together. Sometimes they have true friendship, and they will be honest with you. And that's why, even being a kid growing up, my mother would try to isolate us from places and don't hang around. So I've never been that type of person, never, because that don't scare me to where people, you know, want to go run and hide and shame folks. And as you were seeing this, I will never forget the time, and you know, Michelle, at the Garden Grove office, one day I was going to go take some trash out. And I kept hearing something in the trash can. Now, I don't do rats. Rats and snakes are not my friend. This woman jumped out the trash can with a piece of watermelon in her mouth. I said, oh, my God. Then I asked her, I said, is it another piece up in there? She started, she started cracking up. That piece of watermelon kind of looked good. But she was in there, dips to dump it. And I just gave her some money, and I said, you know what, you don't have to do this. Just go get you something to eat, you know, and gave her some money. But by that same token, she just popped up like a jack-in-the-box out the trash can with a big old piece of watermelon in her mouth when she in there looking for some food. So individuals learn how to survive, and they learn skills, because everybody don't have those types of skills. And I think that's why individuals become so judgmental, Blossom, because even as a therapist, I own a drug and alcohol program, yet I don't drink and have never used drugs. And I had to come to grips growing up in Compton. I tell stories of how I used to throw onions and grapefruits at crackheads. But I later learned I was afraid. I didn't know how to engage, and yet because it was such an epidemic in my community, I just thank God that was not my demise. I just thank God, even with the men that I dated, no one ever said, Jeanette, try this, try that, because I have an addictive personality. Because like I said, I left Vegas, and I've been casino hopping ever since. So I know if I would have got a hold of some dope, it would have been all bad. because I have a lot of people in my family that have drug and alcohol problems. But it doesn't mean that help is not available or you need to give up on yourself, because you can change your life. And humor. Blossom, let's talk about the humor part of it, because when you can laugh at your pain, can't nobody else, when they try to laugh at you, it ain't even funny.
At all. You just look at them like, okay, I've been laughed at that. You know what I'm saying? And when I was coming up, I was always the class clown. I thought if I made you laugh, that'll make me forget about what I was going through at home.
Mm-hmm.
That was the phony laugh. But you know what? Now I can honestly laugh. I think about some of the stuff I did. Girl, out there homeless, and we robbing another homeless man. You understand what I'm saying? Out there, you know, I mean, I did some crazy things like this. So that's why I tell people I always like to pray before I open up, and I always like to let you know it's okay to laugh. Because you know what? Laughter is good for the soul. You know what I'm saying? And when you can laugh, I mean really, really laugh, and be in tears laughing, that means you've been healed. You understand me?
That is true.
When I was coming up, they used to call me Baby Bubble Lips. Girl, I cried. I wanted to go get a lip operation. But look at everybody. They're going to get their lips blown up. All I got to do is put on me some matte lipstick and carry on. So when you can love yourself.
Blossom, they used to tell me about my big nose. I tell them I can smell everything. They come in the program high. I'm like, you know you've been drinking. You know you smoked some crack. You know you have. I can smell it. Girl, it becomes an aspect.
But you really got to love yourself. And if you don't, you know, it's a process. I'm not saying I'm perfect, and God is still working on me. God is still working on me. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm better than where I used to be. You know what I'm saying?
She said I may not be but I'm not where I used to be. And a lot of times, like I said, individuals want to keep you stuck. They want to keep you bound. They want to keep you ashamed.
You know what?
Keep your head down.
They haven't worked their issues out. When you find somebody saying, girl, I wouldn't do that, don't do that, that means there's something they haven't worked on. I want to be free. You know, I told around somebody else's secret for 19 years. That wasn't my secret. That was my stepfather's secret. So God showed me how to give it back to him. You know, and then you got to realize hurt people. God taught me.
Mm-hmm.
God taught me something had to have happened to him in order to inflict that on me. Because you just don't wake up saying, I want to abuse a child. No, nobody do that. Just like I didn't wake up saying, I want to be a crackhead or an alcoholic or a prostitute. Or lesbian, or liar, or thief, you know what I'm saying? These are the things that I just did, you know, so it's a process, you know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, the enemy tries to come back and bring those in my past up the things I did, and yes, I was an unfit mother. My baby still was not cool in water, but by the grace of God, my mama and my great-grandmother stepped in and raised my boy. No, they didn't like what I was doing. They didn't hate me. They hate the things that I was doing and the things they saw me do. And when God has me ministering to women, I tell these women, y'all, we got to let these kids come back to us, because we were pop-up mamas. Pop up here, pop up gone. Pop up here, pop up gone. So it took about a good 5 to 6 years for my boys to really, you know, start saying mama, you know what I'm saying? Because in the first 5 years, it's like, hold your purse, hold your wallet, she's coming around. But see, these are the things that I had done. I wasn't always perfect out there. Now, God bless me, I have 3 sons, 36, 33, 32. I got 12 grandbabies, and I just had my first great-granddaughter. You know, this is by the grace of God that I'm still in my right mind, that I can acknowledge these things. I lost a lot of friends out there. And the sad part is, one of my partners, he hit a piece of crack and flipped out right at the mouth. And then we talking about, Lord, give us some of that right there. You know, that's the kind of insane stuff. This man was flung at the mouth like a dog, but we want to take a hit of it. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, you got to – I don't keep my recovery in my mind. I keep it in my heart, because I love being clean sober. I got it
that
in my heart. My mind is a battlefield. Girl, people used to smell me coming before they seen me coming, because I didn't like water, and water didn't like me. I look like
when you were going to tell them, I smell like hot buttermilk. I said, oh, no, she didn't go there. Buttermilk. Hot buttermilk makes some good hot water cornbread, but I don't know about nobody smelling like hot buttermilk.
Baby, you wasn't around me. Do you hear me? And I thought I was the finest thing there was, because that mirror lied to me. But, girl, it takes me to take y'all back to my hometown. Because my nickname back home is B. And when I do go back to business, they be saying B. I say, y'all don't want nobody but God. I have to give him all the glory, because it wasn't me. Because you know what? You have a lot of people talking about, I didn't like the high. I don't know what kind of dope they smoked, because I had some good dope. I didn't like the consequences that came in. So when you could get real with yourself, you could be real with anybody else. It is what it is. Yes, I did these things. Yes, I got a prison number. Yes, yes, yes. But what am I doing now? You know, so that's what, you know, my life now, I can't make up to my kids for the past, but I want to leave them a legacy. You know, yeah, you'll have people, your mom used to smoke crack. Yeah, she smoked crack, but this is what she did with the remainder of her life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that, like I said, not perfect, but I think, and I just want to tell everybody, come from up under that bridge, go over the bridge to your destiny, to your purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Ask
yep.
God, what is your purpose? And then that's
yep.
what you know, because some people try to do, I can't do what you could do, and they can't do what you could do, but do what God told you to do, and that's how you'll prosper.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when you were saying that, I was thinking about my mother, and my mother was very promiscuous, and she used to always say, people would say things about my mother, and I would want to fight. And my mother said, baby, don't fight for me. Tell them, don't tell me. Tell my mama. I can handle my own battles. I'd be like, well, mom, they said this, and they said that, and they said they daddy. She said, tell them they daddy paid for it. Ooh-wee. Then she'll say, well, tell them they ate it. I'm like, oh, my God.
You can't be ashamed of what you paid for.
So, but when we talk about that, and like I talk about the dangers, and we have individuals that are out there that are really sick people or sick individuals, because I'm looking at something where it indicated just recently 4 homeless men killed in New York City over night rampage. You know, you got in regards to even with the president, and don't treat homeless individuals like they're cattle, because they're not. So we got so much stuff going on when we talk about the homeless populations, because it's something that people don't understand. And that's why we need to bring a sense of awareness to let individuals know that you may disagree, but they don't give you the right to be setting people on fire and beating people up and mistreating them. They did a show on What Would You Do? And it was a really good show, and they were mocking this homeless man, and people were really speaking up and defending individuals, because some individuals are like zero tolerance. You're not going to just be disrespecting and mistreating people. So we also have to teach our children how to treat people. Don't, just because they look different, smell different, act different, don't give you the right to disrespect nobody. Now, I'm asking our guest if she has something to share, and then I want you, Blossom, to tell us more about what the organization is that you got going and you want to do. But you want to share something else, young lady?
I just think that if anyone's listening to this show and that they are homeless, not to give up, like you've mentioned many times before, find your inner strength, and it's going to be found spiritually. Like, we have to be based in God, because when community casts us aside, that's where the strength is going to come from. That's where the help is going to come from. Don't give up, no matter how many agencies tell you no, how many places turn you away. Remember that God is in control and over every situation. And when we turn to Him, He opens doors to people close.
But you know what I want to say this? A lot of times people get mad at God. Sometimes they blame God for their situation. Because like Blossom was saying about being molested and holding on to the secret, a lot of times we become so confused when it comes to that. So when you tell a person that, they're like, well, where was God? How did I wind up in this situation? But we can't always blame God for the situation, because we have to think bigger than that. Because our God is bigger than that. So it's part of it is a forgiveness, it's a healing. Because no one deserves to live like that. And like I said, especially when I see homeless children.
Yeah.
You know, or people having pets and dogs, but they use their pets to protect them. But Blossom, tell the listeners what it is that you want to do in Alabama, which kind of, you know, opened up my eyes and my ears and trying to, because I'm terrible with organizing things, but I'm doing my best. But tell the listeners what it is that you have going on.
Well, I've always wanted a home for women that wanted to stay clean and sober. So God blessed me 3 years ago. I went before Habitat, and I just told him my dreams. I told him what my life story and everything, like we're doing right now. And I asked him, could they build a home for me for women that want to stay clean and sober? Well, God bless me. I am a nonprofit organization, which is called From Under a Bridge, Safe Haven Home for Women. This home will be for women that want to stay clean. They can stay 8 months to a year. They have to work, go to school. They have to do something. They'll be getting their health, their teeth, their eyes, mental health if they need that. And so God bless me. They couldn't build a home for me, but they gave me some land. So God bless me. I have my land. I have my blueprints. I have my building permit. I've been approved by God in this city. We get to house 6 women instead of 3 women. And I'm working with the organization that told me if I raised $40,000 that they would build a whole home for me. So that's where I'm at right now. I am a nonprofit organization. And like I said, I know God told me to do this. It's going to be in his time and not in my time. And like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't want to help because it hasn't hit their home. But when it hits home, then, you know, they can kind of recognize and see what's going on. But like I said, I'm just asking anybody if you want to donate a nail or a doorbell or a brick. I am not too proud to beg. You understand me? I've got one organization here that has told me they gave me $2,000 in a promissory letter, either $2,000 in material or man labor. So like I said, I'm not too proud to beg because you know what? Many times I wish I had a place to go, you know what I'm saying? But but God, you know, so like I said, my phone number is 305-538-164. You can hit me up on my email address is BLOS2White@yahoo.com. Hit me up on Facebook, Blossom Rogers. Check out my website, blossomrogers.weebly.com. And like I said, this home is for women that want to stay clean and sober. And like I said, whatever we sow, we shall reap it. So just, I want to thank you for just allowing me to come on here and just to be Blossom. You understand me? Just to be real. And may God show you favor for everything that you're doing.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's very powerful because when you can be you, people learn to accept you for who you are. And that's the beauty of it. And even myself as a therapist, and I am a licensed therapist, and I work with individuals from all walks of life. So I have the opportunity to be able to work with individuals that are connected to law enforcement, individuals within the community. And sometimes people even still judge me. And it's funny because I don't forget where I come from, but I'm able to help open the doors through the grace of God to be able to help other individuals get to where they're trying to go. Because I'm cool. My daughter keeps telling me, you better stop selling yourself out for a hamburger. And you know that one, Crystal. But but the thing is, we do have to learn how to give because it's not begging. I don't look at it as begging. I look at it as not only just sowing a seed, but it doesn't matter what you give, how much you give, or what you do, as long as you're doing something to change the situation. Because like I said, we talk about homelessness. I had a son that was out there. You know, no matter who it is, because sometimes it got to be in they wanted what is not happening in my house. It's not happening next door to me. But it can happen to anyone. Crystal, anything you want to share? Crystal, I know you're still there. Okay, Crystal don't want to say nothing. Crystal don't put us on mute or something. Anything you want to share, Michelle, because Crystal don't want to say nothing.
No, I mean, I get a lot of this because since I was 13, 14, I've been doing stuff like that. And, you know, I know what it's like to be on the street, this, that. But I was a clean bum, you know. I kept my trash and everything. You know, a lot of the other ones, they don't care, you know, and like the cops, I'm friends with them, you know, they get along with me better, you know, and I don't know why I changed it, but I just did, and
Well,
yeah.
I want to say that there are a lot of shelters out there. The internet has been a very valuable resource because you can Google and you can find things in no matter what city, what county, what state you're in. And there are organizations out there. You can just Google shelters. You can Google, and a lot of times we talk about nonprofit organizations. You know, some individuals, Section 8 is available, even if you've lost custody of your kids, because I want to let people know, a lot of times individuals, when they see children, they automatically want to call CPS and turn parents in. It is not against the law for a parent to be homeless with their child. That is not a CPS issue. So we need to stop that, you know, but it is general neglect, child endangerment, even if you have a place and you are not feeding your kids or not properly clothing or housing your kids, because there's a lot of misinformation out there and individuals really don't know. And I always say when you know better, you do better. But call 211, InfoLink. InfoLink is also very, they have a lot of information regarding resources. And there's also, we talk about just the difference between a for-profit and a non-profit organization. Just facility is a nonprofit doesn't mean that there's not money coming in or the staff are not always also getting paid. Some are volunteers, same as for-profit. It's just the way the organization is set up. So we need to educate ourselves, utilize our resources, stop being judgmental. Anything else you want to say, Blossom, before we end the show?
No, ma'am. I thank God for the opportunity, and I can't wait to come out there and see y'all, and may God bless everyone that clicked on today.
Thank you, and if you want to find more information, you can also find me at Jeanette Abney or Jeanette Brooks Abney on Facebook. You can also email me at preciouspredicaments@gmail.com. or Jeanette Abney, LMFT, at gmail.com. You can also, if you're listening to the show, you can leave a comment and let us know what other shows you want to hear or any information you want to know or how to get in touch with either Blossom, myself, and Miss Creasy didn't want to talk about her cooking stuff, but she's still on the line. So tomorrow, oh, I got a good show tomorrow. Tomorrow I had a person call me, and we were talking. I asked him about a topic for tomorrow because I do a show from the pulpit to the couch where individuals are receiving biblical teaching from either a pastor or a minister, and I speak in regards to being the professional therapist. But we're going to be talking about addressing adultery in the church. So that is going to be an interesting topic. How do you address adultery in the church? But we will be doing so at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio at 11:30 a.m. If you are not available, you can also click on the link anytime to listen to that episode, or you can follow me at Jeanette Abney 2019 podcast. So until tomorrow or until next week, or next week I'm not going to be here because of the holiday. I'm Casino hopping again. I'll be with my daughter. Remember, you got this. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.